Now we start a new chapter, which up until recent years seemed to be sort of not so prevalent. It seemed to be like in prehistoric times, there were these crazy cuckoos that made tattoos, that did tattoos. Today, if you don't have a tattoo, I think you can't get into certain government offices. So here, Rav Nosson Zal is going to address this issue based on the Torah. Hilcha is korcha uksoivas kaka. The laws regarding a person tearing out their hair, making a bald spot in their head, which is one of the things that the goyim used to do when somebody died and they wanted to show their grief, they would actually tear their hair out of their head or make tattoos and make permanent lacerations in their flesh. So here the pasuk says, Bonim atem l'Hashem aleikechem. You, the Jewish people, are Hashem's sons. Lois is going to do. You are not allowed to cut your flesh in this way. And don't make any bald spots in your forehead. It says between your eyes. It means we're going to see just like by tefillin. By tefillin also it says to wear tefillin. It means in the place on your head between the eyes. Rav Nosson Zal starts the explanation. Ki anachnu am kodosh tzrichin tomid lehachnia uleshaber sitra demoisa shehi asitra achra. Because we, the holy nation of Jews, are always required to eliminate the aspect of death, which is the sitra achra. The term sitra achra means literally the other side. The other side is the satan, the yetzahara, the malach hamavis. It's one angel. So death and Satan and Sitra Achra go together. And our mission is to eliminate that, but rather to live. Al kein tzrichin lishmores hazikoroi moid. Therefore, we have to be very, very, very careful about remembering what we're supposed to remember. Dehainu la'ad beko machshavtei bal medosi, which means to connect our brain and our thoughts to the future world, to remember that this world is temporary, this world is meaningless just about. It's simply a stepping stone for the next world. Shezehu bechinas zikoroin. That's really the most important thing that we're supposed to be remembering. Kimuva b'maymar vahimi keitz b'simen nun dalad likutei chelek aleph. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 54 in Likutei Moran. Interesting, we're a few days before Hanukkah. Today is the 12th of Kislev. In another 13 days, we'll have Hanukkah. And this Torah Likutei Moran is related to Hanukkah, very much so. This concept, on Hanukkah, we light with olive oil, and the Gemara says that olive oil is mesugal lezikoron. Olives, eating olives makes you forget, and olive oil improves memory. That's why when people eat olives, if a person wants to eat olives, it's advisable to sprinkle a little olive oil on it, that should neutralize the shikha of the olives. Ki alma da'osi hu mekor ha'chayim kayadua, because the future world is the source of life. That's called life. That's called living, eternal life, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh. Hepech ha'shikha, which is the opposite of forgetting, Shehu sitra demoisa. Forgetting is associated with death. Kemoshe kosev shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran, Bechinas nishkachti kames milev. I was forgotten like a dead person is forgotten from the heart. So we see shikha and mace go together. Ve'ikar shlemus hazikoroin hu'al yedei hashikha. And the main way that a person achieves the right kind of memory is through the right kind of forgetting, by knowing what to forget. Dahainu lishkoyach mehalev kol iskei olam hazeh, which means to remove from one's heart all kinds of thoughts about this world, about the materialistic world. Sheheim chutz me'al medosi, which are outside of olam haba, which are not related to olam haba. Dahainu, what do we mean? kol hatayvos rois umidos rois, meaning all kinds of sinful desires and sinful character traits, tzorech lashkiach hoysamei alev. We have to forget them from our heart. We have to remove them from our heart. V'shloi lisko roysam klal, not to think about them at all, not to remember them at all, not to mention them at all, not to speak about tayvos rois and midos rois, not to talk about it, not to think about it, to take it out of our conscience. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, v'shikchi ameichu beisavich, forget your nation and forget the house of your father, referring to converts, people who are coming from non-Jewish places, that kind of thing, or a person who's coming from a place where they were not religious. V'oz yesh shleimus lahazikorim, and when a person forgets what they're supposed to forget, then that person will remember what they're supposed to remember. Then they'll have perfect zikorim. The person will be able to plug in their thought, their mind, to the future world. Because so long as a person is thinking and dwelling and remembering this materialistic world, that person is definitely far, far from what Rabbeinu Zal refers to as zikaron digdusha, from remembering what you're supposed to remember. Because for that person, it's impossible for them to connect their mind to Olam Haba. Ki ha'olam haba va'olam hazeh hu shnei dvarim. Because the future world and this world are two different things. V'zeh hefach mizeh, they're actually opposites of each other. Kayadua, as is brought in the Sefer Choyves Halvovois, in the section Cheshbon HaNefesh, Perek Gimel. This ties in beautifully with the last story of Sipurei Maaseiyos, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about these betlers, these seven betlers, seven great tzaddikim, and Rabbeinu Zal describes and defines their greatness. And the first betler was the one who had the highest level of memory. He was able to remember further back than anybody else. He said, I remember nothing. Which means, again, he remembers pre-creation. He remembers Olam Haba, which is called nothing in the physical level. And how did he achieve it? Because he was blind. He had the ability to close his eyes to this world, not to get distracted, not to look at and think about and talk about Gashmias, but rather to focus his mind, his attention, purely on the future world. The rule is that we have to distance the sitra achra, death, from ourselves, not to allow them to draw from holiness. Kol iske olam hazeh shu chutz miakdusha chutz mialmadosi. And therefore, all involvement in this materialistic world, which is outside of holiness, which is not related to holiness at all, it's not related to Olam Haba, which means it's coming from the Sitra Achra, from death, from Shikha. Our mission is to forget, not to think, to remove that from our heart completely. V'shaloi liskor oysam klal, not to be thinking about that at all whatsoever. Ki kol zman shezoicher oysam, because so long as the person is thinking about those things and remembering those things, nifkam hazikorin dikdusha, it will not allow the person to have zikorin dikdusha, holy zikorin, meaning dahainu la'ad beko machshavtei ba'al medosi, to attach his thoughts and his mind to the future world. When a person remembers what they're supposed to be forgetting, meaning when a person is dwelling on Olam Hazeh, on the materialistic world, he's thinking about and remembering the things he's supposed to forget, those things that are outside of Olam Haba, hu pegam unefilas hazikorin dikdusha. That causes damage and a fall to holy remembering. Nimtza Which means if a person is doing that, they are empowering and giving life to the Sitra Achra. They're feeding the Sitra Achra. Dahainu shemamshich hazikoroin shemishom hachayim el hahepechas shom. Meaning, he's drawing the power of zikoroin. We said zikoroin is associated with life. Shikcha is death, zikoroin is life. By him remembering olam hazeh, he's drawing life into the Sitra Achra. Dahainu lemkoim hashikcha sidra demoisa, into the place of forgetting, of death. Therefore, we must forget what we're supposed to forget about. We're supposed to take out of our mind the things that have to be taken out. All involvement in this materialistic world that's not related to Kedusha, Shehem kulam b'china sitra d'moisa, which is all sitra d'moisa, b'china shikha, tzorech l'shkoyach oysan. We have to forget them. Kedei lachzirom l'mekoymom, mimokom shebo l'sham yelechu, in order to put them back in their proper place, to put them back to where they came from. Ki kulam bo m'b'china shikha, because all thoughts of olam hazeh, of gashmias, that's not related to Kedusha, all of that is coming from the place of shikha. V'alkein tzorech lachzirom l'shom. And therefore we have to put them back there, put it on the right shelf. Put it on the shelf of things to be forgotten about, not things to be remembered. Dahainu l'shkoyach oysam v'shaloi l'skor oysam, to forget them and not to remember them. V'azai hazikoroin hoemes, dahainu hazikoroin shel kedusha k'tikunai. And then the true zikoroin, the zikoron of Kedusha, will be in its proper place. It's interesting. The Gemara says when a child comes into this world, first he's taught everything. While the child is in the mother's womb, there's a malach teaching him everything that that child can possibly achieve in recognition of Hashem. And then right when the child is about to enter into the world, the malach flicks it and causes it to forget everything. Why learn everything to forget it? The reason for that is because once you've learned it once, when you're searching for it, it's going to be deja vu. The neshama is going to feel, hey, I once knew that. That's the real me. That's home. But it seems that the Torah is showing us that zikoroin is dependent on shikha. That a person has to have both of these. You have to have zikoron dikdusha, and you cannot have zikoron dikdusha unless you know what to forget. Unless you know where to apply shikha. Because both of these things are going to be coming at you. Emes and Sheker are going to be coming at you. Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh are going to be coming at you. If you say, no, I want to be a nice guy. I don't have to destroy anything. Life is all about love and happiness. There's no bad. There's no such thing as Ra and everything. I'm just going to remember the Kedusha. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Rav Nosson Zal makes it perfectly clear here. There's a Malach HaMoves, there's Ra, there's Sitra, there's Olam Hazeh. You're swimming in Olam Hazeh. And unless you have the ability to push it aside, to get rid of it, to negate it, you are not going to have Zikaron Dikdusha. And that explains what Rabbeinu Zal says in chapter 25 in Likut Imran, which is a major Torah for Chanukah, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Koyach HaMedameh. There he calls the Sitra Achra Medame, and the word Medame is Bigematria Chanukah, to show that Chanukah is the opposite of Medame. On Chanukah, we light 8 candles, corresponding to the 8 times Emes that it says in the Shachris, from Kriyashma, from the end of Kriyashma, Emes V'yatzev Anochah until Shemoneh Esrei. We say the word Emes 8 times, and Emes is light. Shlach Orcha V'Amitcha. We're lighting those 8 lights of Emes. Rav Nosson Zal says here, HaZikoroin HoEmes, the real Zikoroin, or to remember the Emes by forgetting the Sheker. And there Rabbeinu Zal writes in that Torah that serving Hashem is, there's 3 steps to serving Hashem. Step number 1 is getting rid of the Medame. Getting rid of the Medame, knowing there is something called Medame. There's a Yetzahara, there's Ra. You have to recognize it and you have to get rid of it. That's step number 1. And if you get rid of the ra, now if you clean out the dirt, now you're in a clean house. Now you're in a place of kedusha. Now you're in a place of emes, a place of light. That's step number one. Step number two is to climb from level to level. Rabbi Nizal says there that there's no such, nobody, you're not allowed to stay on the same level. A Jew has to always want to grow, to keep going higher and higher. And each new level that you come to, you have that project again of getting rid of the ra on that level in order to achieve the toiv. And Rabbi Nosson Zal in Hilchas Chanukah, in the first halach of Hilchas Chanukah, says this will explain why Chanukah has two parts to it. There's two parts to Chanukah. There were two miracles on Chanukah. People tend to forget, they don't focus on both of them. Step number one was defeating Yavon, recognizing that there's a Yavon, there's a Medama. What is Yavon? Yavon is not idiots. Yavon is culture. Yavon is culture, the Greek culture, the past, and the trash culture that they're trying, that the secular world is trying to impose on the youth today and in the world today. The incredible, ridiculous, horrendous culture that's being taught today to children, Rahmanul Islam. Like the Greeks, the opposite of Tikkun HaBris and the opposite of Kedusha in every kind of way. We have to recognize that there is this Yavon that has to be, that we have to fight against and we have to eliminate. And once we eliminate that, now we're entering into the realm of light, and now we have to try that, now we can turn on the light. Now there's light. And now we have to increase the light every day. The first day, one light, the second day, two lights, and so on and so forth. Any questions, please? Question in the chat, how would we define Olam Haba? Another word for Olam Haba is the Olam Ho'emes, the world of truth. The world that we are in now is called the Olam HaSheker. It's called Medame, where things look. It looks like a real world, but this world is a fake world, and the pleasures of this world are fake pleasures. That's not the real pleasure. The real pleasure is Shiashua Olam Haba, it's called, the pleasure of Olam Haba. The definition of Olam Haba is the highest level of closeness to Hashem that's going to be achieved in the future, which Rabbi Nosson Zal speaks about just about on every page of Likutei Halachos. We're going to have more on this soon. That's what he's referring to as Olam Haba. When a person leaves this Olam HaSheker, this place of where Medame is the most prevalent force, and connects to Olam Haba, which is holiness, light, the opposite of darkness, the opposite of falseness, the opposite of Gashmius. That's how we would define this Olam Haba. That's, in a sense, a mistaken attitude that some people have. There are some people that are sort of allergic to Ruchnius. And when you start using spiritual terminology, they say that's Buddhism, or that must be some other religion. Because Yiddishkeit is all about halacha. Yiddishkeit is all about the ten. And that's not the case. There's different levels of understanding. But we do understand what the difference is about a person who's eating, and they're eating because they like the food and they enjoy the food, and they're eating, the eating is purely a physical experience. And another person who, before they eat, they make a bracha, and they say, I'm eating this in order to be able to have energy to serve Hashem and to be able to make brachas. And I believe that as enjoyable, as much as the body is enjoying the physical taste of the food, it's like that's nonsense. That's imaginary pleasure. That's baby pleasure. The real pleasure is the pleasure that the neshama feels when I said the words Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Borei Min HaMezonos, or when I ate this cake L'Kavod Shabbos or L'Kavod Yontif, you know, that kind of thing. And a person can connect, each person on their level. There's a very important yesoid in Yiddishkeit and in Breslov. Rav Nosson Zal makes it perfectly clear that every chapter in Likutei Moran, even the chapters where he speaks about the Tzadikei Ador, the Tzadikei Emes, applies to every single one of us on our level. On our level, there's a concept of Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim, and every person has to be trying on our level to relate to that. Question in the chat. This is where the Torah says Sur Meira Va'asei Toiv. that in order to get into the realm of Toiv, there has to be awareness and recognition that there's something called Ra that has to be dealt with. And we have to address that and work on eliminating that. And to the degree that we're successful in eliminating the Ra, we can be Zeche to Toiv. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this many times. This is the mistake of the philosophers or scientists or professors in university who study, they read books, and they think they're smart, or people think they're smart, but if he's really an animal, if behind closed doors this person acts like an animal, and this person does not study Torah, does not learn about midos, this perfection of midos, and midos rois and tivus rois, all of that, that person's knowledge is defective. That person cannot possibly arrive at the truth, at the emes. And unfortunately, those people are going to be misdirected, and they're going to be misdirecting the people that they're teaching. Each one in their own way and on all kinds of different levels. Because again, it's impossible to achieve chachma, real chachmas amit, emes. Emes means life. Emes means oil. It's impossible to achieve that without tikkun hamidois and tikkun of the tivus rois. V'alkein onu mitzuvim sheloi lehiskashois al hames yoisa midai. And this is why the Torah commands us not to delve too much, not to get too much into focusing on death. That there's a concept of too much. The Torah defines boundaries. There's Shiva. There's 7 days of Shiva that have certain strict laws to them. First is Oinein. When the person dies, until they're buried, there's a state called aninus, which has certain requirements. You can't say brachis then, you can't daven, can't all kinds of different laws. Then once upon burial, there's the 7 days. Then there's 30, there's shloishin. Then there's 11 months or 12 months, a year. And there are boundaries. And the Torah warns not to suffer too much, not to get too much into this issue of death. And Rabbeinu Zal warned us that even when a person is learning Torah, when they're learning about the laws of Avelus, the laws of mourning, Rabbeinu Zal said, go over it very shallow. Don't delve into it, because if you'll put your mind into it in a heavy way, a person can chas v'shalom bring upon themselves mourning. They can cause death, Rachman HaSan, by focusing too much on that. It's only one, if a person, chas v'shalom, lo alein, was in that position, someone passes away, and the person has to know those laws, then at that time they're allowed to delve completely into those laws. But when a person is not involved in Shiva or mourning, even though that's Torah and we learn it, but not to get into deeply delving into it like you would any other portion of Torah. Kedei sheloi lahamshich hasitra d'moisach hashon. So as not to draw upon oneself this aspect of death. Rak tzorech lahavira midaitoi ulashokham. But rather, a person has to remove this from their mind and to forget death, to forget that the person that passed away. And again, we're going to explain this. Ki bechinas hashikha tzrichin lishkoyach. Because those items that are within the framework of shikha, there the mitzvah is to forget, not to dwell on it. Rak tzorech lasos hahefach mamish. But rather we have to do the exact opposite. Dahainu ladbek machshavtei bal medasi. To plug our thoughts and our mind into the future world, shehu bechinas zikaron, which is referred to as zikaron, sheshom hachayim, which is life. Ki kishemedabek machshavtei l'shom, because when a person attaches their brain to olam haba, to zikaron digdusha, memela lo yitzayir al hames. Automatically, the person will not go into excessive type of pain over death. Ki lama lo yitzar. Why should I be so upset? Why should I get crazy? Why should I be so upset? Haloi adra, but just the opposite. This person that passed away, achshav yotza mechayesho v'zocha l'chayim nitzchim. This person has been zochet to leave the Olam HaSheker, the Olam HaMedameh, the place where everything is temporary, and they've entered into eternal life, Shehem Ba'al Medasi, which is the future world. V'alkein ho'akum, Shehem Rechoike Me'akdushim, Abchinas Al Medasi, and therefore, the idol worshippers, the Goyim, who are far from Kedusha, they're far from any concept of Olam Haba, Kihem and Hasitra Achra, Sitra Demoisa, they are aligned with the Sitra Achra, the side of death. Alkein heim roitzim lahagbir chas v'sholem es ha-sitra achra. That's why they have these customs of going to extremes when somebody dies. They want to strengthen the death. V'alkein heim oisim korcha, and therefore they tear out their hair, they make bald spots in their head, umizgoydedim al moisam, and they stab themselves, they scratch themselves and everything. In order that they should always remember, they want to leave permanent indelible marks so that they won't forget. In order to draw upon themselves and to expand the death. They want to draw the power of thinking, the power of zikaron, into the place of shikha, into the place of forgetting. Therefore, we, the Jewish people, are commanded by Hashem and warned about this, that we don't do that. Because we have to guard the holy zikaron. Dehainu ledabek mashafdei bal medasi, which means plugging your thoughts into the future world. Shehu mekoyim hachayim, which is the place of true life. Utzrichen lishkoyach es bechinas hashikha. And we have to forget those things that are in the category of forgetting, things that need to be forgotten. Ve'ikar ho'isur sheloy lases korcho alameis sheloy lehisgoydeid. And the thing that the Torah considers most forbidden here is not to make any bald spots in your head by tearing out the hair, and not to make any indelible marks in your flesh, like a tattoo, where a person scratches, cuts the flesh, and leaves a permanent mark there. Kiheim hoyu noigem lases kachal meisam. Because the goyim in previous generations used to do this when somebody died, lehizgoydeid velases korcha baroishon, kedei lifgoymes hasikorin shebaroish, in order to damage and weaken the power of zikorin, which is related to the head, ki hazikorin hu bamoyach, because the ability to remember and to think is in the head. And they, the Goyim, want to do the opposite. They want to strengthen death. They want to put a mark on the head of death to remember the death. That's damaging the Zikorin. We're drawing the place of Zikorin into Shikha. We're taking our mind, our brain, our thoughts, which are supposed to be thinking about the good, right things, and we're attaching it to the wrong things. V'zeh b'chinas korcha. This is the concept of baldness. Dehainu she'toil shin hasari she'baroshim. They tear out the hair from their head. Kisaroi hasarois he moisrei moichin. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that hair is like an extension of the moichin. It's the excesses of the moichin. Vehein bechinas malchus. And sarois are associated with the sphere of malchus. Kimuva b'maimar meishra de sakina. As Rabbein Azal expounds on this in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran. Vishom ikar his gabrus hasitra achras, sitra de moisa. And therefore, the hair is one of the main places where the sitra achra, the side of death, attaches itself. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says, ragleho yordos moves, that the feet of the kedusha, the lower part of the feet, of which is the malchus, yordos moves, that's the place that can fall into death, into the Sitra Achra. That's the place that's most vulnerable to the Sitra Achra, whatever is associated with Malchus, like the hair. This is why one of the ways that we define a person is by the hair. A religious Jew is defined by having short hair, where the hair is supposed to be short, and long hair, where the hair is supposed to be long. The peis and the beard, that's supposed to be long. And the part where you're putting your tefillin on your head, there, if it's long, it's considered a chatzitza. It breaks the connection between the tefillin and the head. And we see today that you can define the different levels of craziness in the world by the color of the hair, the purple hair and the green hair, and by the different styles of the hair. We see that that's a place that the Sitra Achra attaches itself to a person. V'zeo gam kein b'chinas k'soivas kaka. And this is also the concept of tattooing, putting permanent engravement into the flesh. They cut into the flesh in order to remember. They want to make it something that cannot be erased. Because the flesh of the body is associated with the sphere of Malchus. And that's, again, that's why that's the place where the Sitra Achra tries to attach itself to a person. And this is why it's called Ksoivas Kaka, writing this inscription in the flesh, which is a Pegam in Zikoroin, Shehu Bechinas Ksoiv Zoi Zikoroin Basefer. Because we find that the Torah is referred to writing something to remember it. The Torah, which is called the Book of Life, there it has the term Ksoiv Zoi Zikoroin. There's a writing that's Zikoroin, and there's a writing that's Shikha, writing what's supposed to be forgotten. I want to emphasize that here again, we're talking about forgetting a person that passed away, but we celebrate a Yahrzeit. We said today is the Yahrzeit of the Bas Ayin and Yahrzeits, and we say Kaddish, we do all kinds of things where we remember the person that passed away. The answer is remembering them only in a positive, there it's talking about remembering them in a positive, healthy way, in a kosher way, not in a way that brings on depression, sadness, negativity, the way it was by the Goyim. And again, not in a way by damaging our body. A Jew does not have permission to damage the body in any kind of way. There it's Zikoroin Dikdusha. We light a candle on a Yahrzeit to show that we believe that death for a religious Jew is life. It's light. It's not, the word Shikha is the letters HaChoshech, darkness. So again, those people that are coming from a place of darkness, and those people who dwell on Olam Hazeh, and they think when a person leaves this world, they're dead, they're finished. They don't realize that that's when true life is really beginning. That life in this world, material, is make-believe. It's medame. Real life, real living, is only in the future world. Or a person who lives in this world based on the future world. That's called chayim. That's called real living.
I'm not going to ask a question. It's difficult to know how much you mourn per se that you're not going to... that a person is heartless, you know, they're not feeling anything, you know, they cut off on the emotions and then suffering consequences from as a result of that on the one hand, on the other hand, not being drawn down too much and not being jovial. Can Rav Nosson offer some guidance on putting it in perspective or the right place?
Definitely. What you're saying is very, very true and very right. And it's an issue because people that don't study Torah properly and people that don't have Shimush Chachamim to watch how Talmidei Chachamim, how Tzadikim conduct themselves when it comes to this type of thing, they have no idea. They have no idea. And they get it wrong in both extremes. Either too much depression, sadness, you know, negativity, or frivolousness. The Torah warns that in a house of an Ovel, and in a Shiva, you're not allowed to say a Dvar Torah. Unless it's related to the Shiva or something like that, because again, it's a disrespect, it's an insult to the mace. We're sitting here, a person just passed away, and you want to talk about Hanukkah, you want to talk about how we're going to celebrate Hanukkah. person's not, even that you're not allowed to do. We learn Mishnayis because Mishnah is the letters Neshama, and we speak about the person that passed, we try to say positive things about the person that passed away, or what we can learn, especially what we can learn from the person who passed away, that kind of thing. But in other words, and here's where the Torah, the pasuk says about the Torah, Durachecho darchei noyam v'chol nesiv. The path of the Torah is that middle of the road path, not too much this, not too much that, and without Torah, what we witness is both mistakes. We see either the extreme being described here, which is treif, too much negativity is treif. And we see the opposite of it, lack of respect, you know, lack of acknowledgement and respect. The simcha should not be shown the way it is in other places. We have to be in simcha at all times. But in a Beis Sofer, we don't express that simcha by laughing, by joking, telling jokes about anything at all whatsoever. Just like on Tisha B'Av, or, you know, it's not a time for depression. It's that middle of the road path, which the Torah, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says what to do, what not to, what's allowed, what's forbidden, what's too much, what's too little. And therefore, a person really needs to be familiar with those laws. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, for example, when a daughter passed away, which is like when a parent passes away, it's terrible. When a parent is mourning the death of a child, it's a whole different league of terrible. And yet he was careful not to show on the outside. There was solemnness, there was seriousness, but there was also a display of strength, of firm emuna in Hashem, emuna that she is in a better place now, and emuna that everything has, not saying one word, and that's against Hashem, or about an untimely, you know, people use the word untimely death. Untimely, what do you mean? Hashem didn't change the clock? Hashem was on daylight saving, you know. There's untimely, the time when a person passes away, that's the time that Hashem knew is the right time. We say that from our perception, when we see a person passes away at a young age, or they didn't live what we refer to as a complete full life, we could say it that way, but we have to be extremely careful how we word that. And again, the Shulchan Aruch warns about this, to be careful not to say anything at all that could be perceived in any way as disrespectful to Hashem or judging Hashem in any kind of way. But again, no two people are the same. He was able to exercise this incredible level of control, self-control, not to cry in public in front of other people. What he did behind closed doors is another story. But you saw a person who observed the laws, every single a minion going to die, you know, a minion for davening at the Shiva, following each one of the laws that the Torah defines, exactly what the right way to observe a funeral, what's the right way to observe Shiva, the putting up of a matzeva, the yard site, every single thing.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure. We should be zeicha to chayim, we should be zeicha to live, to celebrate happy occasions. Those that need to get married should find their true zivugim and get married. Those that need to have children, those that have children, to be zeicha to raise our children to chayim, to teach them what we're learning here, to teach them what this world is and what the next world is. And that this world is a preparation. You're preparing for a trip. Person who's going on a trip and they're busy doing other things, and you tell a person, hey, idiot, you're going to be leaving soon. If you don't pack suitcase, if you don't go shopping, if you don't buy what you need for the trip, and if you don't pack your suitcases, you're going to be in big trouble when you get there. And that's what our mission, that's what our life in this world is about. It's the realization that we're about to travel. How soon? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It could be in minutes. It could be in days or years. Nobody knows. And therefore, every minute of our life is packing suitcases, hopefully, for that long journey, for the Olam HaEmes, for eternity. Should be zeicha to live that kind of life, which is a simcha. The Gemara tells a story, and Rav Nosson Zal quotes it in another place, where the Chachamim, the Tanoim Amoraim, were at a wedding of the son of one of the Tanoim. And somebody said, hey, let's sing something. So somebody said, sure, I know a song. Vaylan de misna, vaylan de misna. Woe is to us that we're going to die. Woe is to us that we're going to die. This is in the Gemara. You ever hear that? What kind of song is that? And Rav Nosson Zal explains, it's the song we're singing over here. It's a realization of what life is really all about. And if a person learns it the right way and takes it the right way, person doesn't get depressed over it. They're happy. I'm living in a place, I have the opportunity now, every minute of my life, I have the opportunity to shop. Another mitzvah, tzitzis, tefillin, stucca, bracha on food. Every second, I'm packing that suitcase. I can put stuff into the suitcase every moment, and I'm going to be going to a much better place. As much as the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, makes this world look attractive, one of the things that troubles me a lot lately, that in religious magazines, in religious places, they're advertising Hanukkah getaway, Pesach getaway, 5-star hotel, gourmet food, non-stop eating. You can eat in your sleep. We'll give you food while you're sleeping. We'll give you intravenous, non-stop food. And they show you the pictures of the steak and the everything, and they're showing you, where are we? This is being presented to Orthodox Jewry. That's Hanukkah, that's Pesach, that's life? That's our life? Our life is something totally different. But this is how the Sidra Achra is fighting us in this generation, with a tsunami of food, a tsunami of gashmias luxuries, to get us to forget, to get us to fall into this shikha, to forget that this is all imaginary, this is all medame, this is a joke. And the more we get involved in that, the less preparation we're going to make for where it really counts. Shbizrcha, to know that there are certain foods associated with certain holidays. A person who eats latkes or a person who eats donuts on a Hanukkah, if they're eating it to show that this is a special day, what's special about it? We defeated Yavan. We're another candle. We're going high. We're getting rid of the ra, and we're trying to increase the toiv, increase the light every day. Then it's a positive thing. But if we focus on that and not dwell on the kedusha elements of it, we're missing the boat completely. Rahman al-Islam.